Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I would ask that the IT department assist me with my request that I have this meeting, two copies of this meeting on a thumb drive, two thumb drives, and I can provide the thumb drives because I will be sharing this meeting with the state attorney's office and the attorney general if it seems appropriate at the conclusion of this meeting to do so.
Oh, that's a tone setter. You know, this meeting that I don't think we ought to be having, that I don't know why we're having it, that I wasn't informed about because I'm the mayor, but I wasn't included on the gang of five that wanted to call this meeting to talk about the city clerk's role going forward in Milton. Yeah, you're going to have to provide me these videos on a thumb drive tonight before I leave, and I'm going to take these to the state attorney's office and the attorney general's office because I think somebody's breaking the law up in here. Okay. Good, genial way to begin the meeting, way to maintain decorum. Fantastic. But okay, Mike Cusack, didn't have any less to say about it.
The way it was done, it's under the table, and there's no transparency. And that's the problem with this city council. We're not transparent with the people that are sitting out here.
Okay? Can we not say the same thing about the previous meeting, about the attorney? Nobody ever asked me if I wanted to be at that meeting.
100% accurate.
Yeah, no one pulled the council about that meeting, sir.
You can't pick and choose what you agree with.
So it's okay if you want to go after somebody, it's okay.
I'm not trying to go after anybody.
No.
Mike Cusack's not trying to go after anybody. He literally called for the firing of Alex Andrade at the last meeting that was called in the exact same inappropriate way. Good Lord. Just try to remember what you've said. I have to remember what everybody said. Just try to remember what you've said from meeting to meeting, sir.
Oh, well, let's be fair.
Okay, well, we couldn't have a discussion with each other outside of this meeting, sir. So the fact that you could say something to change my mind would not have happened because we're not allowed to discuss outside of the sunshine.
Exactly, but you all discussed it without the total council.
I mean, I don't know if you understand that because it seems like there's a lot of discussion outside the sunshine between the mayor and some of you. So I'm sorry.
That is absolutely untrue.
Excuse me, Mr. Powell.
Hey, if everyone else can levy accusations and decide to do what they want to do.
Me of violating the law. Here, sir?
I'm saying that that's what it seems. And if since you have no qualms accusing other people of it, then I'm allowed to say what I want.
I haven't accused anyone of violating
the law. All I said is that we all should.
Wait, whoa. I just played you the clip where she said this meeting is illegal and we're going to take the thumb drive to the state attorney and the attorney general's office. And now you're saying 20 minutes later that you didn't accuse anybody of doing anything. What in the world?
I asked questions of your employee, the city manager, and how he did this.
Yes, ma'am,
asking
you did.
Asking those questions does not accuse you of anything, sir.
Well, okay. You maintain that.
I'm just saying that we all should have been included on this.
Maybe we all should have come over to the mayor's house and had a discussion.
Oh, well, let's be flippant here and let's be unprofessional. Okay.
I'm not being unprofessional.
Oh,
I'm stating my perceptions, which I'm allowed to do just like you. I'm not begrudging your perception, sir. I'm stating mine.
Oh my God. And by the way, the backdrop on that is remember that Don Molinaro, the city clerk, went to Heather Lindsay's house on a Sunday to try to call Scott Collins to rescue the attempt to hire him as a city manager because they didn't think they could trust the people to overhear them at City Hall that this was going on. That's where that quip about we should go to the mayor's house came from. Oh, my goodness.
I wasn't asking for any motions, but I've been counseled before that I should allow council to make their motions. And if it's out of order, you know, we can determine that. It was determined during that meeting that Mr. Cusack decided to change his motion, and he did. He changed it to simply the communications were not appropriate.
Well, I think he was aware that that motion was going to fail. That's
well, and I didn't expect
you don't know what I'm going to wear. How do you know?
Mr. Cusack?
You're right.
Mr. Cusack, you're not recognized. Just a moment.
Matt Jarrett jumps in to explain that in the prior meeting, Mike Cusack, he forwarded the motion. He put forward the motion to fire Alex Andrade. It looked like he was going to lose that clearly. So he changed the motion to just rule to deem that his behavior had been inappropriate and unprofessional, that silliest of all possible motions. And so Matt Jarrett, who Matt Jarrett only jumps in once in a while, but when he jumps in, it's for effect. And he jumps in, he's like, oh, you know, this is why you did that before. And listen to how Mike just completely misunderstood the verbiage here.
I think he was aware that that motion was going to fail. That's
well,
why I was saying.
And I didn't expect
you don't know what I'm going to wear.
You don't know what I'm going to wear? Oh my goodness. All right. So Roxanne Meese is talking, and you know, Mike Cusack is making the claim that he didn't call Scott Collins, and which, you know, I'm still waiting on the phone logs because they exist and I don't have them yet. My records request. Also, I'm waiting on the text messages that I only have a partial list of because Mike Cusack apparently thinks that it's only a public record if he makes it a public record. No, it's a public record when it exists, sir.
I do know that Mike Cusack took it upon himself to contact Mr. Collins after being advised that we were not to do so.
That is incorrect statement, ma'am.
You said it last time. You said you...
He contacted me, ma'am. I did not contact him. He called me, period. I did not reach out to him whatsoever before or after all of this was going on, period.
Well, we need to listen to the tape because that's what you said last time.
And then the question of the public records comes up. Let me come back to this in a second because it's just... It's just worser and worser. We've got John Pickens sitting in for Candy this morning. John, who lives in Milton.
Right. I'm just embarrassed. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It's like a daytime drama.
This should be, it's almost like we should have music. This should be like a training video of how not to, you know, for other city councils.
Yes.
I honestly start to wonder, you know, does the governor... You know, is he aware, you know, is anybody in Tallahassee aware of how utterly dysfunctional the political element of the city of Milton is? Because the problem here is the staff is great.
Right. And, they are amazing.
But you can't work in this environment. Can
no,
you imagine
this is a hostile
going to
environment.
Work when this is what's happening around you every day? Oh, my God.
Hostile.
And the only thing I think the employees have going for them to some degree is at least when we play the clips and make fun of this lunacy, at least they know somebody gets it and somebody's paying attention. Somebody's kind of in the sub with them, you know,
right.
Like, hey,
right.
Man, it's okay. And they can laugh and cry all at the same time.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, tell them about traffic on the fives.
We're looking good so far. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Highway 90 is actually going pretty well. 98, seeing just a minor delay around Tiger Point. Other than that, that's a look at your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. Mm-hmm. And by the way, just the backdrop here. Look, I've had good interactions with Dawn Molinaro. She's been as helpful as she could be to me. I've in the past had good interactions with Heather Lindsay. I never like to just condemn, you know, somebody or make a judgment. I'm not sure. There's been some very serious questions about some of the things that Dawn Molinaro has said in emails. We've talked about that previously. And by the way, the end here is going to be 4-4 vote. Heather making the tie. They're very close. Mm-hmm. So she's not going to lose her job or anything. This is the drama of the hour of the meeting that a lot of us couldn't get because the internet was malfunctioning that night. And I wanted you to hear it because somebody told me, oh, Andrew, you missed the even worse part of the first part of the meeting. I'm like, really? It could be worse? It can always be worse. Okay, so back to the meeting. Matt Jarrett is now raising the question about the public records requests, which is Dawn Molinaro's job is to fulfill public records requests, about those not being done properly.
I don't really care what happened with Mike and Scott or Scott and Jeff at this point. I think the whole conversation tonight was about Dawn, and the issue I had was the public records request, the way they were being handled. There was certain people that got theirs quick. There were certain members of media that didn't receive theirs, or they received a piece of it here, a piece of it there.
And others.
That was my main issue. I thought there might be some liability there after talking with the attorney, and it seems that there is.
Oh, thanks for letting me know.
You didn't know?
Thanks.
There's a problem with the records. And, you know, by the way, part of the issue is that, you know, some members of the Pitchfork Posse, like Pam Mitchell, are apparently getting records before anybody gets them and finding stuff out. Like the Scott Collins doesn't want to stay in the job before even members of council know. You know, or things getting leaked to the press, like the prior special called meeting for Alex Andrade that he finds out from a reporter who found out from, I think, from her, who somehow got it before anybody else did. I mean, it's just, it's craziness, absolute craziness, the stuff that's going on.
Mr. Andrade, has there been some complaint against us for a delay in responding to a public records request?
Several folks have reached out to me with concerns about compliance with public records requests, concerns about fulfilling public records requests. Fully and completely. concerns about individuals who've submitted public records requests, having their public record requests being fulfilled out of order in which they were received by the city. I've relayed those communications on several occasions over the past 2 weeks to different folks in the city, and in response to a newly discovered complaint this morning, I reiterated it to the entire council as well about compliance with public records, because intentional non-compliance is a serious issue.
I think he's talking about the question I raised about how the full scope of the texts from Mike Cusack had not been released. I think that's what that one is. That it was Monday, if I think about my timelines being aligned properly. It might not have been. I'm just, you know, he doesn't say it was me, so I'm not sure. But it's just, there's no place where you look and you're like, oh man, that part's working great.
A reasonable time to respond. Has it even been 2 weeks since these requests have come in?
Mary, the concern is not a reasonable time to respond. The concern is prioritizing certain individuals' requests over others.
That's the claim.
They have to be prioritized in the order in which they've been received.
You've investigated this, apparently.
It's
absolutely true.
That's Matt Jarrett.
Is it an accusation that you've investigated, sir?
I'm saying it's a serious concern with indications that it's true.
Yeah, there's no way to look at the fact pattern and think that things are being done properly. And even so, that, you know, the whole issue of like seizing Randy Jorgensen's computer and Bethany Anderson, the PIO's computer, not seizing Mike Cusack's personal cell phone, which has the records on it, unless he's deleted them, which would be a really serious sunshine violation, much worse than the sort of inadvertency violation. So, oh, man. Well, you know, look, I've said it before. I'll say it again. The city is great. The city is great. The people are great. It's a great place to live. It's a buy for business, as long as you don't mind dealing with city council. I don't know how they're going to hire anybody, and I don't know who people might leave. And I hope that it gets cleaned up. I hope that people work together. I hope that they repent and pray. Anything can happen. You know, I'd love to see the city of Milton be the bright, shining example of Christian unity and decorum and decency and civility. But until that time, just keep exposing the silliness. 721 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And there's a new advertiser with the show. Very interesting. It's ProHealth FL or ProHealth Florida. You can find it at ProHealthFL.com. And they're a female-owned local company that have been working in Pensacola for more than 35 years, making healthcare affordable and accessible. And this is particularly if you are challenged with like insurance issues or you don't have insurance. They're perfect for that. But also, like, they're perennial winners of Best of the Bay, Best of the Coast, Best of Pensacola. 7 locations from Pensacola to Santa Rosa Beach, Gulf Breeze by the Whataburger, Santa Rosa Beach, Milton Crestview, Fort Walton, Pensacola Summit Boulevard, and Pensacola College Parkway by the Sam's Club. Primary care and urgent care. They'll take walk-ins from 8 to 4 Monday through Friday. That's in Gulf Breeze and Pensacola and Fort Walton. And then Saturday, 8 to 1 at the Pensacola location by the Sam's Club. So you need walk-in services. That's what it's for. Lab work, very affordable. Occupational health screenings, drug, physicals, after-hours on-site testing. They'll come to you. Breathalyzers, TB, vaccinations, all of that stuff. Comprehensive medical weight loss program. If you need to lose weight, they can work with you on that. And ProHealth Medical Membership, again, is an alternative to insurance. $45 a month. It, you know, takes care of primary care visits with zero copay, teledoc, annual physical flu shot, discounts on lab work and procedures, and no catches. So if any of that appeals to you, check them out online at ProHealthFL.com or, you know, go by with your questions. Either way you want to do it. I'm Andrew McKay.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson. One of my favorite church hymns on the topic of prayer is entitled, I Must Tell Jesus. The four verses deal with two topics, handling heavy burdens and fighting sinful temptation. Here are the words to the first verse. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. That's powerful, right? Here are the words of the fourth verse. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus and he will help me over the world the victory to win. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you're facing today, whether it's heavy burdens or it's sinful temptation, take time to pray and tell Jesus and let him work in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and we'll be discussing how the ProHealth Medical Membership Program can help you regarding the stress and cost of healthcare. That's today at 10:30 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Inside this room, all of my dreams become realities. And some of my realities become dreams. And almost everything you'll see is eatable, edible. I mean, you can eat almost everything.
Good morning, 726, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens, who embodies the philosophy that rhythm is a dancer, has got your traffic on the fives.
That's right, and the traffic's looking good. Not very many people are dancing right now. I-10, I-110, they're all looking good right now. Highway 90 in pace, even 29 is going smoothly right now. That's a look at your traffic.
All right, thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The U.S. may be getting some information today about that Texas soldier that was captured after crossing into North Korea. The State Department apparently has reached out to North Korea for an update. And for the first time now, North Korea has responded to the inquiry, but have not provided any information as of yet. A new study suggests that the ocean waves off the California coast are apparently getting bigger as the earth gets warmer. Scripps Institution of Oceanography in San Diego analyzed seismic records dating back to 1931. Between 1996 and 2016, swells at least 13 feet tall happened almost twice as often as they did between 1949 and 1969. And apparently A-list celebrities are now putting their money into the supporting the Hollywood actors strike. Variety reporting that George Clooney and Meryl Streep led a big donation drive that brought in $15 million to financially support these striking actors.
Okay. I mean, that's something, you know. I mean, I think they could each write a check like that pretty easily, and, you know, maybe that would show just a little higher level of solidarity. I'm not saying they need to or should. I'm just saying it could be, you know, symbolically. But all right. David, thanks so much for the update, 728. Did you happen to see the new product from Little Tykes?
If you're the parent of a young child and you're not getting enough sleep at night, I'm betting it's because your children will not stay in their room. That was my problem, too, until recently when I found this ankle monitor in Walmart. The device easily straps onto your toddler's leg and then puts in the work 24/7 to make sure they're staying where they belong.
Yeah, Little Tykes has come out with a little ankle monitor for your...
Oh, my goodness.
Toddler delinquent. Monitor. It's, you know, bright colored plastic straps right on the leg, teaches them early where they're going to go in life.
Check out these awesome features. Using their app, you can specify a timeout zone, which is the room where your child is supposed to be staying. It's sort of like house arrest. You can also set up no-go zones for extra safety. I'm going to do the whole house. Now, whenever my little juvenile delinquent sneaks out of his room, I get a notification on my phone.
So it'll, you know, you can map out your house and right. block off zones and
he
make
sure.
He
said he's going to block his whole house.
Yeah, he said to block the whole Well, if the kid's supposed to be in the crib, you know, right? And you say, well, notification's fine, but what if you need to, you know, sort of amp up the level of involvement?
From this point, there's several different approaches on how to handle the situation, such as screaming at them from your bed or bargaining with them to get back in their room. But my favorite is to employ the built-in electrical impulse training tool.
Oh, no.
It's actually kind of therapeutic for me.
It's got a little shock device?
Right, like a dog collar.
Okay, okay. Before you lose your mind, this is not real.
Oh.
This is not real.
I thought it was. I was like,
no, it's
why weren't
not
my kids
real.
Like this?
It's a spoof. It's a joke. It's a gag. Thank God.
Yeah.
The scary thing is you're like, huh.
That sounds like a good idea.
I got a nephew, you know?
Yeah.
Like, little Tyke's ankle monitors, so... Oh, man, they really, this should have been an April Fool's, honestly, but the people are so livid about this. It's amazing. But, yeah, the ankle monitor for your juvenile delinquent, your toddler. Oh, my God. How'd you get out of the crib? David Wayne is in the newsroom. What do you have coming up, David?
News. I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump's due in federal court in Washington, D.C. today to be arraigned on criminal charges related to trying to overturn the 2020 election. He wants the trial moved out of D.C.
Security is getting tighter here. 4 p.m. Eastern. We expect the former president to be here at the federal courthouse in D.C. facing his third indictment in 4 months. And ahead of this one, he took to Truth Social, posting the latest fake case brought by crooked Joe Biden and deranged Jack Smith will hopefully be moved to an impartial venue such as the politically unbiased nearby state of West Virginia.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. Pittsburgh synagogue shooter Robert Bowers will be sentenced to death today on a jury's recommendation. Survivors and victims' families get to speak.
To describe how the defendant's crimes have impacted them and their families.
U.S. Attorney Eric Olshen. Bowers killed 11 people at the Tree of Life synagogue in 2018, wounding 7 others. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 84 right now. Sunshine looks like an absolutely gorgeous morning out there. Emergency crews today are still searching for 2 missing swimmers in waters near NAS Pensacola. First responders were called to the front gates of NAS Pensacola last night at about 9 p.m. Reports are 3 swimmers had been reported missing. One was found and pronounced dead. 2 others are still missing at this time. We'll let you know when we learn more. Skanska has lost a big battle in their effort to limit the amount of liability they may have for the damage caused by their barges during Hurricane Sally.
According to the PNJ, the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta ruled against Skanska's attempt to limit their liability to $1.2 million. Skanska had tried for that amount based on a provision in maritime law. However, the court ruled 3-0 that Skanska was negligent in preparing for the hurricane. That ruling backed up District Court Judge Lacey Collier's ruling in 2021. Now, unless there's an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, the dozens of lawsuits filed on behalf of businesses and residents can move forward. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Joe. Appreciate that update. Escambia County celebrating the first sea turtle hatches of the season. That was yesterday on both Pensacola Beach and Perdido Key. 160 loggerhead hatchlings were able to make their way safely into the Gulf of Mexico. They were guided by the full moon that night. It's the first of 2 nests on Perdido and the first of 13 nests on Pensacola Beach. The Escambia County Planning Board denied a request this week from a resident to rezone his property to agricultural in hopes he could keep several farm animals. Michael Hazelbaker says he purchased his 20-acre property on Old Novak Road, believing he could have animals and homestead the property. Turns out it's zoned to be low-density residential. Hazelbaker is now facing code violations for having goats, horses, cows, pigs, and donkeys on the property. Several neighbors attended the meeting. They asked the board not to approve the change, claiming that Hazelbaker had brought trouble to the neighborhood. They say Bobby Lee Sales, that's the woman who was in headlines earlier this week after being arrested for allegedly impersonating an FDLE officer, lives with Hazel Baker at the property. That decision now going to the Board of County Commissioners for a final decision. Well, Florida State University leaders say they'd like to stay with the ACC, but they need more money for that to happen.
Staying in the ACC under the current situation is hard for us to figure out how we remain competitive unless there were a major change in the revenue distribution within the conference, in the ACC conference itself.
And that is FSU President Richard McCullough. And he says the school receives about $40 million per year from the ACC's media rights deal with ESPN, but schools in the Big Ten and the SEC receive a lot more than that. Board of Trustees member Drew Weatherford went as far as to say that if things don't change, it's not a matter of if, but rather when Florida State leaves the conference. 735 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. Brought to you by Christina Leavenworth. Thinking about selling your house? Don't waste another day. Contact Christina Leavenworth and the Leavenworth team today. It's ChristinaLeavenworth.Leavenrinke, R-I-N-K-E, Realty.com. Take a look at the big board right now. No accidents to let you know about. Seeing some slowdowns going on I-110 and 98 right around the Tiger Point area. That's a little congestion right there also. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Now a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Happy Thursday. Another hot day. Heat advisory in effect across all of Northwest Florida from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Highs once again back into the middle 90s. Feels like temperatures could be as high as 110 through the afternoon with not much out there in terms of rain chances to cool us off. Same deal on Friday. Could be even hotter on Friday with highs back into the mid to upper 90s and feels like temperatures could even go above the 110 mark. That's your weather forecast for now. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting here at WEAR News.
And right now it's 85 in Pensacola. It's 86 in Gulf Breeze and 81 in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. According to a newly released filing, federal agents issued and executed a search warrant on former WWE CEO Vince McMahon on July 17th. No charges have been brought, but McMahon was also issued with a federal grand jury subpoena. This comes almost a year after McMahon stepped down as chairman and CEO and subsequently retired from the company after allegations of sexual misconduct, as well as reports he paid more than $12 million to four women over a 16-year period to cover up his improprieties. Federal authorities and the SEC opened an investigation into McMahon last July. You better get to the airport early enough to check your bag or you'll be out of luck. Frontier Airlines has rolled out a strict bag policy that will require passengers who wish to check a bag to roll up at the airport at least 1 hour before their flight departs. Beginning August 16th, the airline's ticket counters will close to passengers for check-in and bag drop 60 minutes before flight departures. That's Your Money Now.
Today at 10:30, join the Pensacola Humane Society on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They believe every wag of a tail, every purr, and every gentle nuzzle is a gift worth cherishing. Their dedicated team of volunteers works tirelessly to provide shelter, care, and love to animals in need. Learn how you can give back by becoming a volunteer or adopting or fostering a furry friend. Listen today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3, will help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage.
If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Do you think gang activity in Pensacola is on the rise?
You know, that's a very interesting question, you know, because, I mean, there's a lot of information that comes with gang activity. I mean, what is considered a gang? You know, there's so many different definitions. Most communities have what we call hybrid gangs, that are a group of people that are hanging together, and, you know, they call themselves one group or another group. But there's no formal meetings like you would see back in the days when you had, you know, the Crips and the Bloods in L.A. and in Little Rock, Arkansas. It's more hybrid in nature. Where, you know, I just talked yesterday about...
That's Eric Randall, chief for Pensacola Police Department, talking at D.C. Reeves press conference on Tuesday about, you know, what is the level of gang violence, what's the nature of gang violence in Pensacola these days. And he says, look, it's not the way you would think about it before with these official gangs that you have membership in. It's more of these shifting loose associations of criminals. And as I understand it, younger also. But we'll talk about that with Mike Wood. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the program, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So is that generally what we're seeing now, is not these kind of big official named isolated, you know, hierarchical kind of organizations, but just sort of, hey, I'm hanging with these guys today and I'm hanging with those guys tomorrow, and we're just kind of doing stuff and it's often criminal. Is that kind of what we're seeing more?
That's exactly what we're seeing. It's not, the chief described it perfectly. It's not, organized gangs that you see in much larger cities. We don't seem to have that in our area, and that's fortunate. You know, one week they're hanging out with one gang one group, and then the next maybe somebody else. And a lot of times these four, five, six guys hang around each other based on maybe the school they went to or where the area where they live, instead of a gang name. So a hybrid, a group of people that don't like each other, is more accurate, I would say, than a gang.
Okay. All right. And obviously they're engaging in, you know, criminal behavior. Does it fall under the, I don't know, I feel like I'm out of my depth on this one, but I thought there were some legal structures in place to facilitate the fighting of gang violence, and, you know, like gang task force, and in conjunction with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. It seems like this sort of is below that threshold, or maybe outside of those parameters, and that might pose an additional challenge. Am I thinking about this the right way? Or am I asking the right question?
Yeah, you are. So if it develops into something bigger, maybe, again, they're wearing certain colors. There's other identifying marks to where we can say, yes, this is a legitimate gang, then it is what it is. That's just not something we've seen at this point.
And when it has those characteristics, you're more able to draw on other agencies, other resources to fight those problems. And if it doesn't cross that threshold, that kind of stuff is not as available. Do I basically have that right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. We've been, kind of looking at what happened on Northwoods at the apartments there on 9th Avenue, and the chief had indicated that he thinks maybe there was a connection to the shooting there with three people shot over the weekend to the Creighton shooting from a couple of weeks ago. Do we have made any progress on either of those?
Well, I can tell you we haven't hit any brick walls. So the investigation is progressing, and any time that we have shooting incidents that close together, one of the first things investigators are going to look for is some sort of connection. So that's always possible. It's not confirmed, and we probably won't be able to confirm or anything like that until an arrest is made.
All right, very good. The other series of crimes that has kind of captivated the town, and I think rightly so because it's so awful, but, you know, seeing these swastikas painted or spray painted on different structures and the brick thrown through the temple window, it's infuriating. Vandalism in general is infuriating. Vandalism that seems to be motivated by anti-Semitism or racism or anything else is, you know, extra infuriating. But I don't know. My own sense about these things is it doesn't strike me so much as the work of some dedicated white supremacist group. It strikes me as, like, I don't know, kids misbehaving or doing something they think is cool that's really not, or just, I don't know, just it has that feel to me. Have you guys managed to figure out what kind of a problem is causing this yet at all?
No, we're still working on that. Like you said, there's been several incidents, and they're not, there's been two locations where, you know, definitely there was Jewish organizations there. So, and that both of those were where the bricks were tossed through windows. And then the graffiti portion, there's no particular place. There's different buildings, bus stop benches, walls, things like that. So we don't know. We won't know exactly what we have until we have an arrest. And like I said before, if it's kids that saw something off the internet and they're doing it because it's generating attention, that's one thing. But if we make an arrest and we find, let's say, a computer that's got a lot of hatred in it, there's flags maybe in a bedroom or a basement, and so it goes deeper toward a hate crime at that point. But I can tell you that Chief Randall, Deputy Chief Chrisman, have pulled out all the stops on this investigation, and we're looking hard, and hopefully we'll have an arrest soon.
Okay, so and as you say, if you find other justifying evidence, there'd be enhancements to push it towards a hate crime charge aside from just being a vandalism charge. That makes sense to me. I appreciate that. You know what? I'm going to give you just an idea. It's probably not anything you can use. It's probably not a good one, but it is the one that occurred to me. I remember that, you know, Ronald Reagan used to deal with the communists by making fun of them. And, you know, to some degree, Bush used to make fun of the terrorists, because the one thing that bullies and, you know, authoritarians or vandals, they don't like to be made fun of, you know. And it just kind of struck me the other day that if instead of, you know, just getting angry and worked up about it, if we replied in kind, like when they paint swastikas, we'd paint, like, you know, vandals are cowards, or man must not have, you know, be able to get along with women, or, you know, I don't know, just some kind of a, you know, like a pushback that would irritate them back. I don't know if that's practical. It's probably not something that can be done, but have you guys considered, like, weird alternative ways of discouraging the behavior other than just pursuing the criminals?
No, we haven't, but I can tell you that the Jewish community has not been shaken by this.
Good.
And that in itself should be enough to let them know that they have not been shaken by this. And I can tell you, if it's attention that they're looking for, as soon as we get a hold of them, they're going to get that attention, and we'll make them famous. So that's probably something that they don't want to happen. But it's a little bit too late now. The investigation is moving forward, and hopefully, again, we'll make an arrest soon.
Yeah, racism, anti-Semitism, religious bigotry—these are not laughing matters at all. Mike Wood, we're talking with the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Let's get a quick traffic on the fives from John Pickens.
That's right. We're only working one accident right now on Davis Highway and Bloodsworth Lane. Other than that, seeing traffic flow a little slowly in Tiger Point and Oriole Beach. Other than that, everything's looking good. That's a look at your traffic on the fives.
All right. Thanks so much, John. Mike, I think you might be driving kind of a unique vehicle and maybe driving it in a unique place right now. Is that right?
Well, yeah, I'm in our Blue Angel Tahoe sitting out in front of the airport, and I've been driving a long time, but I've never, ever driven a vehicle inside of a building, and that's what I'm about to do. So we're going to drive it in the airport and put it on display for people to take pictures of and with, and do some recruiting with that while it's in here. So, yeah, I'm going to drive it in the airport in just a moment, so what could go wrong, right?
You're going to drive the PPD Blue Angels Tahoe inside of the Pensacola International Airport to put it on display for visitors to take photos with and to see and all that kind of stuff. Is that right?
That is right.
Oh, man.
So it'll be there for a few days, be there for a few weeks, and I hope folks can enjoy it, and we'll see what happens.
And so just purely practical question, you got to ride home?
I've got some officers who are going to take me back to my vehicle. You know, this. You know, think about it. It's going to be in the baggage claim area, and the whole theme to the baggage claim area at the Pensacola Airport is Blue Angels. And
nice.
You know, we thought what a great place to put this Tahoe on display and do some recruiting. And fortunately, the director, Mr. Coughlin, agreed, and so we're going to make that happen this morning.
Well, I'm just curious. Was it Matt's idea, or was it one of your guys? Your idea? Who was the instigator here?
So it came from the police department.
Nice.
And Matt went along with him. We're glad he did that, and we're glad to have the support.
All right. No, I love it. So anyway, go to the airport, and luckily, baggage is outside of security. That means that anybody can go there. So if you want to see it and, you know, take yourself in the PPD Blue Angels baggage claim area, that's fantastic. Might also cut down on baggage theft, so I like that as well. Hey, last thing, we always like to ask a cop myth or a did you know. This one's a little different than one I've asked ever before, but I was kind of having this conversation. When I watch all these 80s movies, what I notice is at a certain point around the late 80s, maybe 88, 89, is you see that, for example, like in Lethal Weapon, Sergeant Murtaugh has got a revolver, but Riggs has a Beretta. And you see that in other circumstances where for the longest time, you know, older police movies, they always had revolvers. Newer, of course, now y'all carry Glocks typically. It's a semi-automatic pistol. But there was a time when they were kind of both present in the movies, and the cool cop had the semi-automatic and the older cop, which I assume reflected a reality in the force. But we've had semi-automatics for forever. I mean, the 1911 was literally made in 1911. Why didn't the police convert over to semi-automatic pistols earlier, and why did they stick with revolvers so late in the game, so long?
Well, first of all, both of those cops are cool. It's just one is old and one is young. So here's what happened. The wheel gun or the revolver is something that's been around forever, and the older officers know they know how dependable that weapon is. And then the new officers want the latest and the greatest. So two things changed going into semi-automatic weapons or held it up, and that is the department itself, the age of the administrators. Is it a decision they wanted to make to go away from the reliable revolver to the new semi-automatic weapon? So in early times or earlier times, the weapons could jam. They would jam a lot more than they do now. They've really got to figure it out now. That doesn't happen very often. And then the other reason why they might not switch over to the semi-automatics was cost of replacing all of those weapons.
So basically, you had reliability. You know, revolvers don't jam. Semi-automatics did, and as you say, they're better now, but they did for the past. The inventory cost of acquiring the new weapons, retraining everybody on the new weapons, those were some of the whole, and just sort of bureaucratic momentum. Did any of the impetus to actually make the change come from criminals ramping up their armaments and it sort of being on the street and needing to have, you know, higher capacity magazines in order to deal with that problem? The thought that maybe, you know, six wasn't enough, but 17 would be adequate?
Yes, absolutely. Because one thing you don't see on the streets anymore are revolvers with the bad guys. It's extremely rare. So we would be outgunned if we didn't make that move. And it's the same way when we replaced our shotguns with the rifles. We would just be outgunned if we had semi-automatics and shotguns. So we have to change our weapons and our tactics with the times and with what we're being met with on the street.
And just this is a completely, you know, just kind of nerd gun question, but did police, when they had the revolvers, did you carry auto loaders? Or, I mean, I assume you didn't just carry, you know, a bag of bullets or anything. What was the standard, you know, carry component?
Yeah, it's interesting you should ask me that, because you know that I'm old enough to where I did start with a wheel gun. And, they were called speed loaders. And they were on our belt just like the magazines are now. There were two of them. Sometimes some officers carried three. So you were able to reload that weapon very fast back in the day.
Okay. All right. That's what I figured, but I just didn't know. And that's why I wanted to ask you. And I wasn't implying an age, sir. I wasn't meaning to pull it in that direction. You self-disclose at your own risk. Mike Wood is our public information officer and always a good sport for these oddball questions. I appreciate it. And certainly I appreciate what you do for the community, Mike. Thanks so much. And go get your snaps with the PPD cruiser at Pensacola International Airport, right?
Hey, it'll be in there in 10 minutes.
Nice. Drive safely. 753 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got pests, you've got termites, you've got roaches, you've got ants. Oh, my God, the fire ants are the worst. But all the black, the big, the black, the small, all the ants. You know, you've got mosquitoes you're dealing with. You got rodents, maybe, whatever it is. NSEC will take care of it. They can deal with anything that you've got, anything that is plaguing your house. And, you know, of course, they're professional. They'll show up on time. They'll take photos. They'll give you a free estimate. If you decide to do the work, they'll send you an email with photos before what they did, photos after, so you have a good documentary record. If it's fire ants, they've got a program that takes just one treatment, bonds with the soil, gives you a full year of fire ant protection, $25 off that right now. If it's mosquitoes, they will scientifically identify, you know, which species. They will customize monthly service visits to take care of the problems that are plaguing you specifically most effectively. $50 off any annual pest control customer contract right now. But again, you know, read the details in the contract and make sure it applies to you. Also, NSEC is now hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians, Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, Panama City, pay, benefits, 401k, opportunities for growth, and into management even. You can apply at workwithNSEC, ENSEC.com.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
I keep playing. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
Silent footsteps crowding me. Sudden darkness, but I can see. No sugar tonight in my coffee. No sugar tonight in my tea. No sugar to stand beside me. No sugar to
Gotta let it go to this part.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You needed some Guess Who and you didn't even know it. 756 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens sitting in for Candy this morning. Traffic on the fives.
That's right. We're only working one accident right now. It's Davis Highway and Bloodsworth Lane. That is moved off to the side, but no roadblock associated with that. Other than that, things are looking good. That's a look at traffic on your fives.
All right, John. Thanks so much for that. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden pointing fingers for the U.S., the recent U.S. credit rating downgrade. The White House blaming former President Trump and Republican officials for, quote, cheerleading a default on the national debt and undermining governance and democracy. Activists are now urging new Wayne State University president Dr. Kimberly Espy to end experiments that use dogs. Ryan Merkley is the director of research for the nonprofit Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. It says WSU has been doing animal testing now for over 30 years. Merkley says all the dogs will die during the research for heart failure and hypertension. A petition that was delivered had over 104,000 signatures. And a deputy in Orange County, Andrew, going viral. This is after a very dangerous traffic stop the other day.
How old are you? You're 16. Whose car is this? Call your father. I need him here now.
Dad, this is Corporal Richter at the Orange County Sheriff's Office. I need you to come out here and pick up your son. I'm on the express lanes, I-4 express lanes. I just clocked your son at 132 miles an hour.
132 wow. miles an hour.
How old is the kid?
16 years old, driving his dad's car. I would not have wanted to be him.
No, and this is a good example of why you don't give a kid a sports car.
Yes.
you don't.
It is a bad idea.
My 19-year-old drives a Prius.
And my 19-year-old drives a Chevy Spark.
That's it. That's exactly right. David, that actually reminds me a little bit. It's not the same, but did you see the video of I think it was Fish and Wildlife, where there was a boat that was going, I'm guessing, but 30 or 40 knots without a driver.
Oh,
and
yeah, oh,
wow. they had to basically pull alongside and then jump into the boat in order to, get it to stop or whatever. Lord, I don't understand, but, okay, there it is. 7:59, News Radio 92.3. Hey, coming up in a minute, we'll talk to Lisa Newell from the Gulf Breeze News, find out what's going on in Milton. That all comes up next after the break.